Welcome, KU football fans, to the Puka Williams Hour at PukaWilliams.com. I'm Benton Smith, your Puka Williams beat reporter. No, pretty big weekend for the KU
you've
football
got it right.
team.
Yeah, there's no no there.
thanks to one Puka Williams of Moreno, Louisiana, I believe is how you pronounce his hometown.
Amazing. Named after No'Shawn Moreno,
really?
Former Denver Bronco.
Oh, yep. Well, I'm glad you're here. Matt Tate, renowned Denver Bronco Twitter poster.
It's been a couple years.
Yeah, you really have gotten away from that. I'm sure the KU fans who are also Chiefs fans appreciate that.
I give
greatly.
The people what they want.
Yeah.
You know, I listened.
Yeah. And Tom Keegan is here as well. Tom, do you have any Denver Broncos or Puka Williams related thoughts?
Not John Hill.
Stephen Harris. Stephen Johnson.
Stephen Johnson, yeah. Oh. Yeah, good call.
Chris Harris, Stephen Johnson,
yeah.
That was good.
My Puka thoughts are the same as everybody else's. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. He made this team worth watching, worth paying to go see. I wonder how big of an impact he'll have on attendance. I think there will be an impact, a Puka curiosity factor.
Absolutely, because, I mean, if I don't know how many people were willing to shell out the $4.99 and watch this game, but once they saw the highlights, whether it was on Twitter or on, you know, whatever, or later that day, I mean, if you're a KU fan and Todd Reesing is getting his name in the Ring of Honor, and all of a sudden you have this really interesting freshman running back, why not? 11 a.m. kickoff. It doesn't eat up your whole Saturday, you know?
Absolutely.
You're out of there by early afternoon. You might get to see him win. Rutgers is not a great team.
No, Kansas favored by 3. Initially,
yeah.
They did not
Which
put never it on the board.
Happens, right?
Right. Because of the Rutgers injury to the quarterback.
Oh, right.
But now it's on the board, and it opened at Kansas as a 3-point favorite, which that doesn't happen against FBS competition.
No.
Good point. Yeah, that's significant. It really is.
Like, yeah, it is significant. It's a chance to see the first 2-game winning streak since 2011.
Incredible. Yeah, the Charlie Weiss era. The glory days.
Yeah, no, it was the Turner Gill era.
Oh my gosh.
And this is also.
Yeah, because Weiss was 2-2 when he got fired, but it was 1-1, 1-1.
Yeah.
That's right.
Also, this is a chance to see. Okay, you weren't there in Mount Pleasant, Benton and I were. You didn't get to see a 46-game road losing streak end, but you can see a 7-game home losing streak end if they beat Rutgers.
Yeah. You know what? I had a thought shortly after the win on Saturday. What if KU now wins 46 consecutive road games? What would that look like?
That would look like.
It would have to be more than. No, it'd be about the same time, right?
That means they'd
nine
just
or
be
10 years from now.
Every other year, going into Norman and just destroying
the Sooners. Garrett Riley, new head coach, just embarrassing his brother. No, if they win 46 road games in a row, Beatty will remain the coach because that would mean what 4 more, 5 more this year.
Well, does that mean that the NCAA grants Puka 5 more years of eligibility?
There you
or
go.
What?
There you go.
Puka
can't hurt. Can't hurt.
But yeah, I mean, we'll just do a real brief recap of the game before we get into the Twitter questions for the mailbag. But really an ugly, boring first half, you know, other than that Kurt Johnson touchdown catch. I mean, not a lot happening, just punt after punt after
right.
punt.
The only thing interesting was that the defense was
right.
so good.
I was about to say.
Bryce Tornaden and some others were really making some nice plays. One first down. One
the
first down
first
in the
half.
Entire first half
first
of Central
yeah.
Michigan.
Yeah,
now, did they have a good offense or a good quarterback? No, they didn't, but that's impressive.
Yeah, to do that on the road, I mean, considering KU's track record, that's humongous because that puts them in position to win that game. You know, if the defense comes out and just is not up for it or blows a couple coverages early or makes a couple of mistakes, do we know that game turns out that way? We
right.
don't, you know? So the great job by the defense throughout, but the first half in particular to just string together all those 3 and outs.
And then the second half, they started getting a bunch
yeah,
of turnovers,
right.
four
yeah.
picks.
Yeah. Yeah, that was probably the biggest positive from that first half by far was the defense. You mentioned the one first down, but the first 10 possessions of the game for Central Michigan, it was 6 punts in a row, the end of the first half, then they fumbled, then they punted again, and then they got picked off. I mean, phenomenal job by the defense. Obviously, Central Michigan was not the greatest team we've ever seen by any means, but just the fact that a KU defense that last year, I mean, it really took weeks for them to kind of get into game speed, really, and kind of everybody to feel comfortable and get acclimated, but that hasn't been an issue in the first 2 weeks. So,
well, you know, a lot of times you look at junior college players, their mm-hmm. first year, particularly defensive backs, it seems they struggle the first year, second year they do well. Look at Shaq Taylor. He said it was the first time in his entire life he ever hit a pick six.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. At any level.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was so jacked. He can't wait for Saturday's game to begin, I guarantee you. And he got it by, he said, just being where I was supposed to be.
Yeah, I mean, there were definitely a lot of poor decisions, we'll say, by the Central Michigan quarterback, Tony Poljan. But, I mean, the KU defense was there to pounce on every one. Yeah. Six turnovers, just like the Texas win.
Right.
Six turnovers for Texas when they lost at KU in overtime a couple years ago. Six turnovers at Central Michigan by the home team for
KU undefeated under Beatty when the other team has six turnovers.
Yeah, there's the secret.
It's easy.
It's not
six
that
takeaways.
Hard. Just go force them.
That's all.
But no.
No, very impressive. I don't care who it's against.
Yeah.
You know, right? Six turnovers, it's either a really outstanding effort or it's also, it could be, as you just said about Shaq Taylor, doing what you're supposed to do. If it's against a poor team or a team that's making bad decisions, either way, that's a great sign. Either way, that's good news. If it's an extraordinary effort, you're playing over your head, great. If it's just what you were supposed to do, then that's just as good.
You know, early in the game when it was nothing, when we were talking in the press conference, that KU looked like the much faster team and the bigger team, except at quarterback. Their quarterback was huge.
Yeah, 6'7".
Yeah, but he didn't have good feet.
Yeah, it was more just like this is an abnormal look for a quarterback than it was like, this guy's an impressive quarterback.
Right.
Yeah. But we were talking early in the first quarter during the game up there. It was just like, neither team's doing anything, but KU is clearly the better team.
Yeah.
Right.
By the personnel.
And that's good to see because it's been a while.
Yeah.
I think that was significant. You know, they didn't just sloppily luck their way into a 21-20 road victory. I mean, they dominated. And,
yep.
And I think Central Michigan's terrible. I think everybody would, not everybody, but a lot of people, at least the three of us, would agree. But all the more reason that you should feel good about beating them 31-7.
Right.
I mean, that's what you should have done. So
yeah.
That's a positive sign. And I think it had to add some juice to the finally ending the streak. I mean, I was thinking about it, and I tweeted this on Saturday night. There have been so many good football players. Maybe not good teams. You know, KU struggled as a team, but they've had a lot of good football players that weren't able to get this done.
Right.
And these guys did. And
they
you know,
feel great.
Yeah,
about them.
Good
they
for
did.
Them. I mean, that's impressive because there's a lot of guys that would have loved to have been on the team that did it. You know, and not just the obvious ones like Ben Heaney and Chris Harris and those guys, but you know, a lot of other guys that Montel Cozart would have killed to be on this team that got it done, you know. So, good for them. I mean, it's definitely good for you too, Benton. I mean, you don't have to write about it every time they go on the road now. I dealt with that for a few years, and it was, you know, it was one of those storylines where it was a storyline. You had to mention it. Not mentioning it was irresponsible because it was part of the game and part of the coverage, but. It always sucked to have to keep doing it because it was just, oh my gosh, everybody knows, right?
Right.
I've written this. People know, and now you don't have to do that anymore. So,
yeah, so
congratulations.
Well, congratulations to the players who have to answer those questions every week, too.
True.
Because you know that the guys who've been around here for a few years are sick of it because they know it's coming, and we have to ask it because, like you mentioned, it is a storyline,
right.
Especially when it hit historic numbers last year. I mean, so I probably feel best for not myself, but for guys like Deneen and Wise who don't have to like keep answering these same questions, which they know are coming and they have no interest in talking about.
Right.
And now it's over with. So I mean,
there'll be other questions.
Well, yeah,
but for sure. Yeah.
But this negative question is now dead.
Yeah, it is.
There'll be other negative related questions. I'm sure.
Yeah, and same for Beatty. You know, like. And who knows if it's true or not. You know, he always does the, we don't ever talk about it. We never bring it up. And maybe that's true. And if so, good for him. But At least he doesn't have to navigate that either. I mean, if you talk about it, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. But now you just don't have to.
Tom, you saw so many of these road losses. Because, I mean, when did you start covering KU football? When did you start at the Journal World? It was pre-Todd Reising, right? Just before?
Yeah, okay. 2005.
Okay.
It was my first year. And, you know, they had a few different quarterbacks. Swanson ended up being the guy. But they had
Brian Luke.
Luke and Adam Barman.
Right.
And ended up with Swanson. He had a hamstring injury earlier in the year. Then the Kerry Meyer was the quarterback the next year, and then Todd Reising took over. But Meyer was injured, and
obviously it had been since Todd Reising's last year that KU had won a road game, and you've covered so many road games since then. I mean, as you're covering this team week after week, are you ever wondering like, oh my God, are we ever going to cover a win on the road?
Yeah, obviously, yeah, and I didn't really have the feeling that I would until early in that game when it was nothing. And it was clear that Kansas is the better team. So, yeah, you go to all these places, and I always felt bad for the guys who drive the equipment truck.
Right, yeah.
You know, because they want to win. They want to be in a good mood when they're driving home. They do hard work, and to have to drive all that way after seeing a bad performance is tough. And they saw a good performance, and they were fired up. I talked to them a little bit after.
That's cool.
They were really happy.
Yeah, because that is definitely not an easy drive.
No.
I mean, we had some easy flights other than maybe getting up early to make them, but
it's... Other than the four-hour layover, but a four-hour layover when you don't have your phone on you is no excuse for getting a lot of work done.
Yeah, to let
that's,
you let
that's
you
like
buy...
the 80s.
That's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Right?
Although you wouldn't have your laptop available probably back then, right? Was laptop technology?
Portabubble.
And,
yeah, you know, these gigantic machines, you'd have to plug it in. Yeah, it was... Actually, when I started, I was at the very, very end of the telegrams where you would, on a manual typewriter, you'd bring a manual typewriter to the game. You'd type, and you'd pass your sheet of paper when you were done with that one sheet of paper. You'd type it down to the end, and the Western Union man would... telegraph it back to the office.
Man,
wow.
When I one of my first years covering KU football, I took a trip sometime in February or something to Mexico, and I didn't have a laptop. That was, you know, this was a while ago. And you gave me one of your old machines. A machine, because I wanted to get some work done. I mean, we were working on a preview section for spring
football. Yeah, we did call it machines.
Yeah, and it was, you know, it was yay thick, 4 or 5 inches thick. And,
was it a Radio Shack TRS-80?
Something like that,
yeah. It probably was.
And I remember, you know, this works. I got some stuff done. It was just a word processing machine, but I remember being so worried about it. Like, yeah, it was nice of him to let me borrow this. I don't want to lose it. You know, I don't want it to get stolen. I put it in the safe in the hotel room and all that stuff. You probably wouldn't have even cared.
Well,
you know, looking at it now.
It broke shortly after that, but... Yeah,
crazy.
You know, the Cubs PR man, Ned Colletti, when he was younger, he was the a sports writer in Philadelphia. So when he lost his job as the Cubs PR man, I told our publisher, I was on my way out the door, so you should let this guy write a column. He knows what he's doing. So I gave him that machine, and he used
nice.
It while doing that.
Nice.
Until he got hired by the Giants as assistant GM. And then he became the Dodgers general manager for years, for several years, Ned Colletti. So.
All because of that machine.
Yeah, so you use the same machine as the Dodgers general manager.
There you
manager.
Go.
Wow, I'm still not totally sure what that machine was.
Right.
I guess you said it best, it was a word processor.
Yeah, I mean, it was just,
so
you
it didn't
couldn't
like,
get on the internet or
okay.
anything.
It didn't print any, like, paper version of what you're writing or anything? No.
I think if
I
you hooked it
got
up
it
to
off.
If you hooked it up to a printer, you could print.
Okay.
But yeah, sure. But I think
I don't think you could email from it or anything.
Oh,
like
I don't
that.
Think no. so. I don't think you could email. I don't know that you
I don't
could
even think
put
you could
USB.
Put a memory stick
yeah, right.
in there to get drag out the
So I must have connected it to another machine and just sent it through a cord. Oh, the old
you'd have to, there was a modem you'd have to connect to and then send, but then you'd have to have be on the same language as the paper you're sending it to, I guess.
Brutal.
Wow. Well,
Tough days.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
This is all from pre-Puka Williams. I'm sure he wasn't even born when those things were...
Well, he was in fourth grade when the road losing streak started.
So. I'm glad you found that out. That was cool.
Real briefly, we'll talk a little bit about the quarterback play. They didn't ask much of Bender. Didn't have to.
Right.
Because it really was more of a run-based offense this week. And I think they kind of anticipated doing that all off-season and all summer in particular. But once Puka wasn't available versus Nichols, that maybe that had a lot to do with them not carrying the...
It's a cool play-action pass from Bender to Kurt Johnson, and that was the biggest play through the air. And other things, they don't get open deep. They really don't. So he just dumps off to guys slanting across the middle. And, you know, he's managing the game well. He has no turnovers in 2 weeks.
He has the one fumble that was the one that was ruled a fumble in week
Oh, nine. That's right. Yeah, yeah. No interceptions.
But no interceptions, right?
Yeah.
And that even that play was questionable. I mean, it was a really close play where you could have gone either way in the review, and they ended up saying it was a fumble. But yeah, no picks yet for him through 2 weeks. This week he was 17 of 26, 130 yards, one touchdown, only sacked once. That's probably the biggest positive, right?
Right.
Other than that, no interceptions either.
And it's only 5 yards per attempt because, like I say, they're not getting open deep.
Yeah, he hit 9 different guys over the course of the game, and that seems to be just what this offense is going to be from a passing standpoint.
Yeah.
I mean, we all know that Steven Sims is the best receiver, but whether defenses are taking him away or he's just maybe the best cornerback from the other team is always going to be on him, and it's just going to be that much more difficult, and so they'll just throw closer to the line of scrimmage and do the old dink and dunk.
Yeah.
That might be.
So, yeah, Kurt Johnson looks good.
Yeah.
Real good. But Fairs and Booker, not much.
Not don't seem to be getting open a lot.
Yeah, either game. I'm not trying to turn it negative, but it's definitely worth noting, right? I mean, and maybe that's part of the scheme, too. I mean, you look at Sims and you look at Johnson, and those are guys that they're running underneath stuff, and they're getting open in space.
But also, they're looking for answers. I mean, they had Lassiter out there a lot.
Yeah, good point.
So they are trying a lot of different guys. Lassiter looks really good returning punts. He made only one bad decision when he got smoked as soon as he caught it. Other than that, he always makes the right decision. He held on to it.
I was thinking the same thing. Like, that could have been a way worse decision.
Right.
And he doesn't get near the ball when there's a chance of turning it over. He knows how to do that. He's really going to be good at that job, I think. And it's good to know that you have someone who likes doing that job and is good at it. And you don't have to worry about that.
He's like the anti-Quiv.
Yeah, he is.
Excellent point.
Yeah, Quiv, just because he's super fast, got put in there. And, boy, he just wasn't good at that job at all. His fingers weren't sticky enough.
No, I guess not. At one time, it just went right off of his helmet.
Yeah.
His helmet wasn't sticky enough either.
That's right. You got to put that stick 'em on the helmet.
Yeah, obviously.
Tough.
Miles Kendrick played in both halves. I think the plan going in was probably like a series per half.
Right.
But it was really, I mean, nothing of note from him. The only thing that was interesting to me was when he was in there in the second half with Puka Williams, when they have those run-pass option plays, that's kind of difficult for the defense because both those guys are really comfortable. So if they can get space and find some lanes and have their blocks, that's a potential really good weapon for the offense.
Yeah, there's a one gigantic difference between the two, obviously. Puka's incredibly explosive, and Kendrick is not explosive.
He's comfortable, though.
He's comfortable, definitely.
And he's smooth. He's not fast.
He's smooth. He's not fast. He's not explosive.
But I like comfortable. That's a great word. I thought the same thing. He looked like a guy who feels like I'm in right where I need to be. I belong out here. I'm okay. I know what we're doing. And I don't think he's a bad enough passer. You know, maybe he can't stretch the field as well and that kind of thing, but it'd be hard for me to go away from him. I mean, I think they look more dangerous, for sure.
I do wonder the timing, though, that Bender just thrown a touchdown pass.
And then they brought in Kendrick.
I just
don't
know.
Next series.
Right. Yeah.
I think it seems like it's just a script for that. Like, this is the time.
And I don't know. Sports is all about adjusting. Don't you adjust off the script?
Yeah, you should be able to. I don't. Maybe those adjustments will come in the next couple of weeks as I get more used to Bender and Kendrick and how they want to kind of utilize him. But
right, it is still early. I'll give you that.
But yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody is really calling for Peyton Bender's job, which that happened a lot last year, you know, during the season. So is that a positive too, that he's just kind of playing that no mistake, confident play at quarterback?
I think so, and I think that we know that he can throw deep, and if they can get some guys open deep, we know that he can hit them.
Yeah, I mean, Kerr Johnson was wide open, so
yeah,
all he had to do...
Yeah, it was a play-action fake,
yeah, it definitely was, yeah.
Ooh, that worked, and...
Yeah. All he had to do was put it in like a, you know, 10-by-10-yard radius, and Kerr was probably going to get it, it seemed like.
Yeah, but I don't know, I was still nervous when that ball was in the air, that like, this is KU, this right. is a 46-game road losing streak. A hawk is going to fly out of the air and steal the football.
I told
you saw him get in the end zone.
Yeah, I told Benton the camera angle on television was from the low field side, sideline. And, yeah. and when the ball went up, I thought it was a horribly thrown ball. I thought it was way too far inside and it was going to be picked. And then they flashed to the wide angle and there's no one near
right.
him. And it's, you know, it wasn't a perfect ball, but it was good enough.
It seemed like it was in the air forever.
It did hang up.
I mean, it was...
Imagine how Peyton
Bender... Here comes the hawk.
How long did it feel to him?
That's one of the pleasant surprises for the offense, though, is the play of Kerr Johnson. He's been good both
games.
He had a touchdown in both games so far.
You could say the same thing about him that you just said about Kendrick.
Yeah.
Confident,
yeah.
comfortable, looks like he feels, you know, hey, I can do this. I'm supposed to be out here, and nobody's better than me.
And in a way, you could say the same thing you say about Taylor, that a second-year JUCO guy is going to feel like he knows what he's doing. And
it's weird. Poof, he's gone. That's how it should be going, you know.
Yep.
It hasn't been for a long time, but that's how it should be going. So, yeah, what about the O-line? That was interesting.
Yeah,
because
it was pretty early that they went ahead and put in their subs. They kept the tackles the same, but I think it was the third series of the game.
Yeah.
Fontana, who didn't start, came in at center, and then...
Replacing Toby.
Yeah, Toby started this week. But
right.
then Oppie Main played some center, too, in this
yeah.
game as well. So, I mean, I think that there was enough concern after Fontana's debut that they were like, well, let's just go ahead and give even more people looks
sure.
and kind of figure this thing out. To Fontana's credit, he didn't have any of those errant snaps that he had against Nichols, so good sign for him. There were no snapping issues whatsoever for any of those three guys. I mean, I haven't really been able to dive into the video enough to know how well they did as far as their blocking assignments go and all of that, but at least they weren't the terrible kind of mistakes that really can shoot you in the foot.
Yeah, no, they both guys snapped well, so that's the main thing, you know.
And I think offensive linemen, you're excited as an offensive lineman if Puka Williams is your running back, right? Doesn't that
yeah.
kind of
well,
give you extra incentive?
And I think offensive linemen like blocking better,
run blocking
better than pass
yeah.
block, because it's an aggressive move. It's not a protection, it's a steamroll, and everybody likes a steamroll, and they get in a rhythm. Also, you talk to offensive linemen at any level, and they really do get in a rhythm when you're running the ball a lot, and I think this is going to be a run dominated offense all year.
Yeah,
especially if Puka's healthy.
Yeah, or especially if they ever figure out if he's going to be cleared for the rest of the year. That whole thing is so weird.
There was a conference call this morning. Why don't you sum up what
Beatty
said?
Yeah, basically this morning, Beatty was asked once again about his status, and he said, well, he's available this week, and he's healthy, and we expect him to play. But he once again didn't ever say, you know, this is over. We're playing him the whole – he's fine for the rest of the season. He's not said that yet, so that's the interesting kind of weird part of this.
It is kind of weird.
Yeah, and I punched in the star one to ask him about that, and apparently my question did not get in, so we'll have to ask him Tuesday at the press conference to kind of give it a little bit of clarification. Like, do you expect this to continue to be a
right.
week-by-week thing?
I mean,
that's something he wouldn't get into after the game.
Yeah,
when we were
that's too it's up interesting.
When I asked him week
yeah,
by week.
Yeah.
And when I... Yeah... And he said, all I've been told that I can say is that he was available today. Well,
we knew that.
We saw him.
Right. I've got to think, I mean, and we see this from Bill Self all the time, I've got to think he can say, hey, it's an academic situation, or it's a, you know, you've got to, maybe he doesn't want to, but he's painting it as, he's being told he can't. Those are two different things. But I have to think you can say the realm that this is concerning. You don't have to get specific at all. You just say an academic thing, an eligibility thing. I mean, obviously it's an eligibility thing, but I just think he can say more than this is all I've been told I can say. That doesn't sound like, I don't know, it just doesn't look good for a head coach. It doesn't sound
Doesn't. I would like to see him get prepped better than that.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, right after the game he's told that, and if I'm told that, so okay, then when their follow-up is, I expect to deal with this the rest of the season, what do you want me to say?
Right. Yeah, it just seems like that's what a head coach, that's what people expect of the head coach, to be in control, to have knowledge of everything going on, good, bad, or otherwise, and to be able to communicate it, you know. And I know a lot of people probably say, well, he doesn't owe it to you guys. Well, it's not about us. It's about the fans that are sitting here going, well, okay, Puka's great. Why didn't he play in the first game? You know, I mean, these people want to know. It goes way beyond just reporters.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately that's what we're trying to do, is to just give the most important information to the people who care about the program. I mean, that's part of our job.
Pretty basic.
But we got plenty of questions on Twitter, as always. I noticed there were a little bit fewer questions this week. I think the outrage level might have gone down just a notch or two.
Oh, a ton. That's something to be excited about. Yeah. Less to be excited about
last
week.
Less to be outraged about this week.
More to be excited about.
Yeah. But there were a number of Puka-related questions and a number of Beatty-related questions, and obviously those tended to be about his job security. But we'll start off with a Puka one, and this one is from The Fitz, who had a question that I thought was pretty interesting. Will Puka save Beatty's job?
It is interesting. I don't think so.
Well, I mean, it still comes down to how the season goes, how the program is being run. One strike against Beatty would be the scholarship situation. They're not going to have a lot of scholarships next year because they've counted so many forward via the unofficial rule of the blue shirt, which allows you, after you get your maximum 25 for that season, you can keep recruiting guys and putting them on scholarship when they arrive in school, and it counts toward the next class. It's robbing Peter to pay Paul, and it's
sometimes it's okay. Sometimes it's okay.
But I mean, I've never seen a coach use it to the extent.
No. Yet. This has been incredible over the last 4 or 5 years. Charlie did it too. Sometimes if it's a guy you think you can get that you might not otherwise get at the end of that next recruiting
cycle, like a Mike Lee.
Sure.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Because if other programs had more time to recruit him, you might not have got him. And so it's worth it then. And he also gets a head start. You know, I mean, you redshirt him, fine. If you can redshirt him, that's a good move. Because then you don't waste a year.
You have to show discipline with it and only save it for those cases, not for, well, nobody else wanted this guy.
Right.
We'll take him. And that's what a lot of them are.
Sure. I don't remember. Who was the DeAndre Ford, the quarterback, you know, was that a blue shirt? I don't remember if he was, but that would be an example of a bad one. It was a panic move.
I think that was a blue shirt.
Didn't need him. Of course you'd take him if he comes and walks on, but you don't sacrifice the future to take him. You don't need him. So
he's one of the 11 starters in the Road League's losing streak.
There you go. That's right.
Started the game at Rutgers.
14 and almost 15 states, as you pointed out.
Yeah. That was cool. Michigan would have been a 15.
Yeah, it was close. But I think somebody asked about can you explain the blue shirts, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And
so
that was perfect that Tom brought that up. We didn't even have to bring up that question. I mean, it's one of those situations that you did it too often, and you did it every year to the extent that you're finally going to have to pay for it this coming year. Because you just don't have any more to give, and now you've also run out of scholarships to give for this 2019 class.
And, I mean, theoretically, you can keep doing it.
Right.
But it's going to catch up with you eventually.
Yeah.
You, at some point, you're going to have a class that's thin, because they can do it now and count ahead to 2020.
Mm-hmm.
and you know, that brings in bodies, but eventually you're going to have a class that's thin unless you just do this the rest of time. And hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, the main thing that I thought was interesting about the will Puka save Beatty's job question was that, like, I mean, that's like the only thing that that could end up doing it right. If Puka is so amazing this year that KU rattles off all these wins.
Right.
And by that I mean like wins 5 or 6.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Then all of a sudden.
Yeah, sure. Then yeah.
Yeah. The answer, then, yeah.
So
then you're talking about a whole different vibe and excitement level.
And it's just crazy because we never would have had this discussion last week, and you also could make a pretty easy argument that KU would have beat Nichols
if
Puka Williams would have played.
Yeah.
That's what's crazy. They'd be sitting on the brink of 3-0.
Chance to go 3-0 with a home win over Rutgers.
Which you didn't when you looked at it before the season.
You didn't think it was crazy.
No.
But it would have actually been here if
one
thing had happened.
Yeah.
And that's why people want to know.
Right.
That's why
Beatty
should and needs to be more specific, at least up to a point. I realize there are some personnel things and HIPAA and whatever else that you can't get into personal stuff and violate rules, but man, you can put some kind of a frame around it, just so people know. Okay, well, this is what it is, and then it helps people decide. Oh, that'll probably be a couple of weeks, you know, at most, and then we'll be able to move on from it. Right now, people don't know. It could be the next road losing streak question where you have to ask it every week,
right, or every time you see him.
Yeah,
every time he's available for questions. The next question comes from the greatest Twitter name I've seen so far.
Wow. In your life?
No, just in these mailbag Jeez. Situations. Oof. But this guy, his Twitter name, his handle is A.Z. McKellips. So I'm assuming that's just like an initial in his last name. But his Twitter name, not his handle, is ASAP Dad.
Oh.
And he's got the dollar sign for the S. I mean, he's bringing it.
Special.
But good question, too. Did the win say more about KU or Central Michigan? Because, I mean, every time we've talked about this game since it happened, I think inevitably somebody brings up, Central Michigan was really not that good.
I'm going to answer that, and that's a fair question, obviously. I'm going to answer it KU simply because it said KU has an unbelievable playmaker, a guy who...
Right, which you didn't know.
Yeah, you didn't know that. You haven't seen the looks of that in the KU program in, man, a long, long time. And, you know, Central Michigan is not a good team. Central Michigan played much better against Kentucky than against Kansas. So
yeah,
maybe that says a little something about Kansas.
Yeah. You never know. When I feel like turnovers are the things that really swing games, and sometimes a team has it, and sometimes a team doesn't. And if your ball security is not there, and you're a marginal team, it shows. I mean, because we've seen tons of times where KU was that team turning the ball over like crazy and getting blown out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's funny you brought up Kentucky because they ended a streak, too, same day. They beat Florida on Saturday night and ended the longest. It was one of the longest streaks against an opponent. Another opponent.
Head to head.
Yeah, because KU and Nebraska were on there. I forget the number that was until KU finally beat them here. So that ended a streak of its own. And then I saw on Twitter Kentucky fans whining about, please don't put us in the same breath as Kansas football. And then Kansas fans were like, well, hold on a second. When did you win a BCS bowl game? And then it just goes on and on. So even outside of their beloved basketball, there's a little Kansas-Kentucky football rivalry brewing. But
that probably has a lot to do with it, doesn't it? That the fan bases already don't like each other because of basketball.
It was cool, though. Same day, two big streaks like that in. That's pretty incredible.
And clearly, Nichols is better than Florida in football because Kansas handled Central Michigan better than Kentucky handled them. Nichols beat Kansas. Therefore, Nichols is better than Florida because Kentucky beat Florida.
Simple math.
Yeah. Simple.
Simple
easy.
Math.
And Tulane's better than all those teams, apparently.
There you go.
Tulane destroyed Nichols.
Yeah.
Willie Fritz.
Next question is from Frank Saunders. Frank always comes with the questions.
What do you call him, Tom?
Willie Fritz?
No, Frank Saunders.
Frankie!
There They're close.
All right. KU beating Texas said everything about Texas and nothing about Kansas, and yet it was parlayed into a raise and extension for the wrong coach. Will this win be as poorly misconstrued? I think there's a pretty easy answer for this.
Yeah. No.
That's the answer.
I don't think – let's say that they go 1-11. Kansas goes 1-11. That means he's 4-44. Which means he's 2-22 twice, because he was 2-22 when he got his contract extended and his salary doubled. So according to that logic and that math, at 4-44, he would get his contract extended and his salary doubled. But I don't think that's going to happen, no. But I don't think they'll go 1-11, and because I think they'll probably beat Rutgers. And who knows, back into, I'm going to stick with my preseason 3-9.
3-9, yeah. It's looking like a good... Well, I don't know.
Right.
It's going to be hard to get there.
Hard to get there, really?
I don't know. It's the Big 12, man. Yeah. I mean, there's no Central Michigan.
Have you seen what Kansas State's been doing? Not good.
Yeah.
Kansas State.
Here you go,
Mississippi State.
Here
you go, yeah.
Talking himself into
I'm just getting into three. That's not much to ask.
No, it shouldn't be.
But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing is that Shane Zinger hired Beatty. And he had incentive to extend him.
Yeah,
and
because he wasn't going to be allowed to hire another coach.
Yeah, and Zinger's obviously gone, and, you know, Jeff Long is going to look at the same big picture. He was there, and he was excited for the players that they were able to get that win, but, I mean, he's not going to let that
ultimately
decide what he does.
You don't double the AD salary from what it was under Zinger so that he can keep Zinger's coach with a bad record.
He's evaluating and
he's not
extending. It's another E word, but it's evaluating, not extending. I mean, no chance. Maybe the question was probably tongue in cheek a little bit.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think Tom's boy Frankie was really asking.
Frankie.
But yeah, next question is from Jay. I'm gonna say Costa.
Jay Bird.
Oh, it's Jay Bird. Thompson for me.
Jay Ajay or Jay Deneen?
No, none of those Jays. Okay. I'm going to say Koester for the last name. It's Koester. Any guesses? For
Keister.
Keister?
Jay Bird, we'll call him.
But he's kind of referencing a topic we got into last week before the Central Michigan game, and he asked, did seeing the joy from Joe Deneen and the other seniors show how pitiful and sad was the suggestion that Jayhawk fans should root against this team?
Nobody said they should root against them. They said, somebody asked, would it make you a bad fan if you did? And the answer is no. Because a fan, the goal of a fan is to have your program be as good off as it can be, right? And if that means winning every game, great. If that means having a future you can be excited about, then that's two different things. So no, it wouldn't make you a bad fan. But nobody said to root against them. I don't think that was ever said. At least not here. So if somebody was suggesting that, hey, go out there on Saturday at Memorial Stadium and root against these guys, root hard against them. Yeah, no, that'd be a little much. But I don't think. I mean, am I remembering correctly? I don't think.
No, you're right. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So no. I mean, the funny thing about it is this win, and yeah, great for the kids. It was cool to see them have something other than the same old, just deflated look. You know,
so strange to see so many guys on the sideline late in the fourth quarter, just really enjoying themselves.
Right, really enjoying themselves. Yeah. And yeah, deservedly so. That was cool. But. But yeah, I mean, the biggest thing about this is it was a momentary break, and what I think most rational thinking people believe is it really doesn't change a whole lot about what's ahead. You know, I think a lot of people still expect that David Beatty's not going to be back next year, and I think a lot of people think that's probably the right move.
And I bet you even more people think after Saturday that Tony Hall will be back next year.
Yeah, well, that helped. That helped for sure. So sad and pitiful if someone told you to root against KU if you're a KU fan, but nobody did here. So, I still don't think it makes you a bad fan, but at least you don't have to worry about that this week. It's an easy choice. Go out and pull for your team.
Know that Puka Williams is going to play, and know that you can be excited about that.
Yeah.
And that Rutgers is one of those lower tier Power 5 programs like Kansas.
Low hanging fruit, we'll call them. Go get them.
So yeah, I mean, no reason for you to go out there and root against your team this week, as right. you mentioned, because even if KU wins this game, that doesn't mean they're gonna, you know, rattle off a bunch of Big 12 wins, you know.
Bingo. You could be 2-1 and finish 2-10. Beatty's still gone, but everybody enjoyed two wins along the way. I mean, that's what that would be. So yeah, it's I don't know, probably 6 one way, half a dozen the other. Just depends on your perspective.
Yeah. The next several questions, I kind of grouped them all together because they're about Beatty and kind of where this potential coaching change could come,
sure.
will it come, that type of thing. This first one is from Joel Gerlot. I hope I'm not mispronouncing your name too badly.
Joel.
Oh, that's right. That's hilarious because one time I was like reading something and I was so deep in like Embiid like stuff
right.
in my head that I read it in my mind as Joel.
Yeah.
Even though it was clearly someone named Joel.
See?
Yeah.
Joel.
So one giant monkey is off Beatty's back. What's the over-under number of wins he needs now to keep his job, or is it already too late? And then he also said, by the way, Nichols was pummeled yesterday by Tulane. So there's that.
People are paying attention.
Well, it's not too late. If he goes 11-1, I assure you he will keep his job. If he,
good call.
You know, if he goes to a bowl game, he will keep his job.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. That's the number, right? 6?
Yeah, and I think at 5, depending on how you look at the season, 5 keeps him in play. 4 or fewer, gone.
I couldn't have said it better. Yeah, I think that's right. And I think that was the case coming into the year. And
yeah.
And you know, it's easy to get your mind changed or derailed your thoughts when things happen along the way. But if you're thinking big picture, this win doesn't change much. I mean, another win on Saturday wouldn't really change much unless it produced more where that came from. Otherwise, if it's big picture that's going to determine whether he stays or goes, then a couple of wins in the non-conference doesn't keep him around. You
yeah.
got to go win more.
Right. Yeah, and I don't think it's going to be a situation where let's say they enter Big 12 play 2-1.
Right.
And they're far more competitive than they have been the past few years, but they're still losing, and
right.
you know, that doesn't get you another year either, I don't think.
No. No, I mean, I don't think so. You never know. That's the tricky part about Jeff Long, you know, and him being new. None of us really know, but I wouldn't think so. I mean, 2-10 doesn't sound like progress, no matter what it looks like.
This next question is from Alex Burton, and he asks, I think the Nichols State loss already sealed Beatty's fate, but is it possible that the win at Central Michigan and possibly another win against a bad Rutgers squad could at least buy him a few more weeks?
Oh, of course you're not going to. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
They're not going to fire 2-1.
No. I mean,
they're not going to fire 1-2 either.
Right.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. But that was exactly the deal with Charlie Weiss. You know, he won the opener in 2014, went down to Duke, got blasted. A lot of people wanted him fired that night, fans and boosters and otherwise. But he wasn't. Then they beat. Was it Central Michigan? It was somebody, Michigan, Central or Western Michigan, one of them, Central probably. So they go to 2-1. Well, people still wanted him gone, but you can't fire a guy after a win. It's just, that's a horrible optic. I mean, that would be so bad. So a win this week buys him a lot more time. And even a loss, like Tom said, I think this one was a good enough, this Central Michigan win was a good enough result to buy at least a few weeks. And maybe, Ben, you were talking about it earlier, maybe that's, I think you guys were talking about it. That's
yeah.
That's what's needed. Maybe that's all that Jeff Long needs is just a few more weeks to really, not only really evaluate it, but also get his ducks in a row and decide that, all right, if I'm going to make a move, I'm going to know for sure what that move is and where I go immediately after I make it. Not just, I hope this is the right move because we can't take this negative publicity and let's go see what happens. I mean, that's not how he would operate, I don't think, or any leader. So I think that's the best thing it does. It just buys that kind of time.
Yeah, I was about to bring that up. Tom, when we were driving back from the game Saturday night, you mentioned that. You know, this buys Jeff long time. That might be the most important thing
that
comes
be,
from this.
Yeah, not going to be clamoring for him to do something.
Right. It looks, it helps him tremendously.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to be pressured by anybody into doing anything anyway, but at least he doesn't have to deal with it now. Especially, you know, if they go 2-1, hey, just keep going, and whatever he may or may not be doing behind the scenes, it allows him to do it without as many eyes on him.
Right. Well, and that whole thing we talked about last week, which was a huge topic of this podcast, was the longer he goes, the more it looks like he condones it, you know, and now that part's all but eliminated.
Right.
He doesn't have to worry about that being a factor either, because it would be. If I were in his shoes and you were 0-2 and 47 in a row on the road, losing streak and all that stuff, I'd be scared that people were going to start thinking, well, I think this is okay. I wouldn't want that at all. So that part is now eliminated.
Kyle Coffey asks, any realistic shot of Beatty keeping his job if KU doesn't get to 4 or 5 wins? We kind of addressed this earlier, but would you say that 5 would keep it? Or 5 just makes it...
5, then it's a decision.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 and 8, not going to keep it for him?
I don't think so.
Probably not. I mean, because you have to look at the overall
picture. It depends, though, right?
This
I mean, let's say they lose to Rutgers and then they go win 3 Big 12 games.
3-6 in the Big 12.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to say there's a shot then.
Yeah, you would say there's a shot.
Right? So it all depends on where they come from.
But I not much of a shot, though. And that's...
It's also right.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine winning 3 Big 12s if you can't even beat Rutgers.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. Good point. Otherwise, you should be knocking on the door of a bowl game. Wow. Yeah. You can beat 3 Big 12 teams. And you can't beat Rutgers and Nicholls State, and that's what keeps you out of a bowl game.
Ouch.
That would be a tough pill to swallow.
Steve, and it's at SteveG690. If KU beats Rutgers, Texas Tech, and K-State, does Beatty return in 2019? So
that's kind of
what we were just talking
about.
Yeah,
right.
Where you finish off non-conference play with a victory, but then you beat two of the perceived lesser teams in the Big 12.
Look, I will say this. I think if it's, let's say it's 4, that's what that scenario is, right?
A 4-win season, 4-8, yes.
If one of them is K-State, I think that
carries weight.
Play. I do. I don't know Jeff Long well enough yet to know that would matter to him, but what little I do know, I feel like that could at least make him consider it. That would be a massive win.
Should it, Tom, should that matter? If KU were to beat K-State, but it's still a 4-8 season, should that swing it one way or the other?
I don't think 4-8 is good enough. I think that a win over K-State means more than a win over anybody, but 4-8 on the year that you have
put all
of your recruiting toward, I don't think that gets it done.
It seems like before the season started, at one of those big pep rallies, Jeff Long mentioned, I see this team is doing all it can to make a bowl and break the cycle. So he's kind of set the standard. Like,
yeah.
You know, let's see if they can get to a bowl. I mean, he didn't say that specifically, but that's kind of what that statement feels like, you know.
And then when he responded with a statement when reporters, you and I and a couple of competitors tried to get a hold of him, since Beatty said that he's supported strongly, we just wanted to hear it from the lead horse's mouth. And he released a statement that people bagged as saying nothing. Well, you got to look at those very carefully. He said, while the outcome was not what any of us expected. Didn't he say expected?
Right.
And not hoped for. There's a big, big difference. Because you are judged against your expectations, not against your hopes. So I thought that did say something.
Sure.
It said that he saw the same thing the rest of us did and wasn't happy with it. And who wouldn't be happy with the outcome of Saturday's Central Michigan game and the fact that the player I was most looking forward to seeing make his debut, I didn't expect to see that exciting a debut.
Yeah, I mean, that second half from Puka was kind of when it turned. And I haven't covered enough of these games, I don't think, to...
I bet you have.
I mean, to...
more than enough.
Yeah. I haven't covered enough of them to see a player really seem to swing the game in that manner.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Tony Pearson was an incredible player and fast, and but he wasn't this.
No, it's almost like Puka's making cuts... Brandon McAnderson type cuts at Tony Pearson's speed.
Wonderfully put.
Because
I bet $10 right now that works its way into your column.
It will, but because I've been thinking about it, I want to follow.
Wonderfully put. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's right on the
money. At Jake Sharp speed. You know?
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of anybody else that you could even pretend like Pearson's the only guy just because he's so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, even the better players, like James Sims was a solid freaking running back, but he was just solid. There was nothing spectacular there. Who else? I mean,
Cornish was exciting, and he blended a little bit. He was good cuts and got in good speed and
that was before,
good size.
Though. Yeah.
But he wasn't, he didn't knock your socks off the way this guy did.
Right, yeah. I think that's, it's a different level. I would agree with you. I mean, I can't really think of too many other guys that I mean, that's the crazy thing. I mean, who have they even had?
And it's one of those things where, like, the defensive players haven't seen that from one of their teammates either. So when they see it, they're even more fired up. They go out and start picking off passes left and right.
Right.
I mean, it was crazy. It really did seem to have a positive impact on both sides of the ball.
Right, yeah. Yeah, big time. I mean, there are a few good runners, too. I mean, I'm thinking of... Taylor Cox was a nice running back. DeAndre Mann was a nice running back. But those guys were, you know, JUCO transfers that they didn't have this explosive, you know, just ridiculous. Brandon Bourbon was, you know, he's supposed to be close to this. I mean, he was a big physical guy with blazing speed and change of direction like that. But he had injuries his whole career and never got going.
Yeah, the thing that's interesting about Puka is, like, he's, like, 170 pounds, but... It appears to be all muscle.
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, he is not really fazed by contact, and he has incredible moves in the open field. And, I mean, it was just one game, and it was against Central Michigan. But
that's all you can judge it on, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not you're not failing by evaluating that. I mean, if he does it against other competition, then start talking about the real deal. But if not, you know, that's fine. As it is, though, goodness gracious. It's talented. Talented dude.
Oh yeah, freak was with Malik Clark.
Yeah.
Got another Frank Saunders question. It was so good that I went ahead and gave him two questions in this Twitter forum.
Frankie.
Other than a huge roughing penalty and the most talented player in the stadium breaking two huge open field runs, the offense did basically nothing. Puka will not sneak up on anyone else. Can this O-line and Bender beat a stacked box?
You know, it's more than sneaking up. I mean, he's super fast, so you're not used to playing against someone that fast.
Plus, he doesn't have to carry the ball every play.
Right.
And Khalil Herbert's still pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, Don Williams still pretty good. So it's not like a defense can settle in and just sit there and wait on Puka. They have to adjust to whoever's in the backfield and whoever's getting the ball. Herbert and Dom are going to get the ball. So... You know, it's almost like that lull them to sleep with those two guys, and then bam, when that happens, they're comfortable. All right, this run game's not that good, and then Puka.
Yeah, I mean,
and then a play action.
Yeah, right. And then that. Yeah, so I mean, I don't think he's guaranteed to do anything close to this again against anybody. I don't. I mean, it could happen, but it's not. Can't say it's guaranteed, but I do think that they're set up to have his success sustained a little bit more as a team, as an offense.
Yeah, and I think that the offensive line is going to get more confident the more that they can
absolutely
kind of run with this guy and have a little bit of success. And
the receivers, I mean, those dudes were blocking down the field,
right?
You know, there was Sims had a big one.
Yep.
I mean, that was cool to see, and that's how you know that's football. That's what it's supposed to look like, but too often it hasn't looked like that here. But there've been some of those guys were out there really, really holding blocks down the field to make sure that Puka had a chance to go if they continue to do that.
And with reasoning scrambling, the receivers stop running their routes.
Yeah, yeah.
It lifts everybody up. You know you're going to get rewarded if you just give it that little extra. That player's going to make you look good.
One last question from James at jcomp14. You want to see more or less Myles Kendrick? Seems like snaps would be better if they got to Bender. If they got Bender some in-game experience. I realize we needed to burn clock. He's talking about the second half there when Kendrick played more, but do it with Bender. So, Tom, how do you feel about that?
In-game experience. Why would Bender need more in-game experience?
Well, I think maybe it's kind of rhythm-related, you know? You're maybe taken away from...
I just wonder about the timing of when Miles comes in, because the first time it was after Sims dropped the touchdown pass in the end zone. That very next...
That was week one you're talking
yeah,
about.
Right. Yeah, right. And then this week it was after...
The touchdown pass.
So I just wonder about the timing is the only thing that kind of throws me.
Yeah, it's clearly like a scripted thing where they're like, we're just putting him in on X possession. But you have to adjust, right? Yeah.
I'm not big on scripts. Yeah. It's like when Mark McGwire broke the home run record, I felt like Joe Buck, whatever he said, I felt like it was scripted.
Wait, are you saying the Puka's juicing?
No. And that's the issue?
That'd be tough. Wow, that'd be tough.
But yeah, we'll wrap it up. Thanks as always for the Twitter questions. Plenty of good discussion questions from those. And yeah, great questions. And I mean, really, that's what this podcast is for, is to talk about the things that you all who follow this program are interested in. So keep them coming every week, and we will keep answering them. But just to wrap it up real quickly, Rutgers coming in this weekend. I think one of the more interesting things that's not going to have any impact on the game whatsoever is you might have two of like the most important talents in this program's recent history in the building at the same time.
Right.
Todd Reesing and Puka Williams.
Yeah, the biggest playmaker since Todd Reesing on the offense. And those are the two reasons that there'd be a bigger crowd, and the biggest reason, of course, is Puka. I think that if they don't get 35,000 there, I'll be disappointed. That tells me that the curiosity of the Lawrence football fan or the Northeast Kansas football fan isn't as great as I thought it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's supposed to be a nice weekend, and there's some excitement and some juice. And look, it goes beyond just KU fans who can get here and put their butts in the seats. I mean, Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, these guys are paying attention to Puka on Twitter. And
did Aqib? I saw Chris Harris was tweeting something. Did Aqib as well?
And I mean, they're excited, you know.
Yeah.
And odds are they maybe met the kid for 5 minutes, maybe don't know him at all. But you know, Montel did it. A bunch of former players and you know, some of the greats like those two we just mentioned are feeling good for this group of guys and for Puka. So if those guys care, I mean, Chris Harris, Aqib Talib, they got millions of dollars. They don't need to pay attention to Puka Williams, but they do. So why not you?
How cool that their star, we can call him that. It's not too soon to call him that.
No.
He's played a full game.
Right. Well, when he plays, they win. When he doesn't, they lose.
Yeah.
Star power right there.
Pretty much it. How cool is it their number one star has the coolest nickname, Puka?
Yeah. Anywhere's number one.
Anywhere's number one.
That's exciting.
He's no longer going to be referred to as Anthony, like he was in that release that said he wasn't going to play.
Yeah, that's the only time we've ever heard him referred to as Anthony.
Anthony Williams.
They won't know who Anthony Williams is.
Everybody's like, who is this fullback, Anthony Williams?
Who is this, a backup offensive lineman? I don't care if he's not playing. Why are they releasing this?
Well, do you know where Puka comes from?
I've not found that out yet. We'll be sure to ask him. Never mind. Freshman can't talk.
Yeah, that's right. We can't find out from him.
We'll be sure to let you know next spring.
Man, that'll test this. Maybe, just maybe, he'll be the guy to break down that wall.
That'd be great, because then we could talk to Coe Harris and other guys, too. I mean,
there's
a figure in Celtic mythology, Irish mythology. Puka is a mythical figure that changes fortune. A mischievous
no way.
Wow.
Sometimes it could be change it for the better and sometimes change it for the bad. So I don't know if that's what
he's
named it, but it seems like change the fortune of KU
football. It's a Louisiana thing. You know, like voodoo and
He's definitely got some voodoo powers
right
out there in the open field. And I mean his first game, KU broke a 9-year-old losing streak.
Yeah, and he's according to him, just getting started. Right? I mean, did you see that?
Yeah, the Twitter video,
at the very end. He's just getting started.
Wow. Right.
What if he's right? What if that's true? This is going to be a fun couple years.
Yeah, I think Joe Dineen was taking plenty of Puka questions after the game as everybody was.
And they liked doing it.
Yeah. They were as excited as anybody to see him play because they know how important he is, and he's fun to watch, and these guys love football, and that's the most exciting player on the team. I think it's easy to say. But yeah, Joe was like, it's pretty cool that KU is going to have him 3 or 4 years. So, I mean, he's already planted the seed.
Three.
Maybe Puka is only here 3 years.
That's beautiful.
And then he enters the draft.
Good for him. You never know. There's some guys in the NFL that don't look that good.
Well, wait till an agent gets a hold of him and tells him to skip his junior year so he doesn't get hurt.
Right, yeah. Don't play the bowl game, Puka.
Don't play the junior year.
There you go. They finally get to a bowl game and Puka doesn't play on the recommendation of his agent.
Tough break.
Well, we once again are ending it on a negative note. That'll wrap up this week's edition of the Puka Williams Hour at KUSports.com. We'll have plenty more about Puka Williams and this upcoming game against Rutgers in the days ahead.
Mostly Puka, though.
Yeah, probably just Puka, now that I think about it. I take it back immediately. Maybe a little bit about Todd Reesing, since he'll be in town.
Oh, yeah. Good idea. Yeah.
But, yeah, obviously a big weekend for this team, this fan base, and for David Beatty, because every game is a huge game for him, because we really don't know what the future will end up holding for him, and it's a week-by-week thing. I think we saw that Nichols, the reaction from the fans afterward was, you know, when's this guy going? When are we going to get rid of him? And, you know, he wins the next week, and right now at least he's got to feel comfortable. But I think he also knows, like, that one win isn't getting him any long-term security. So
he's probably just concerned on making sure Puka shows up and is eligible to play and everything, and
helps chances.
Yeah.
It helps their chances.
But on that note, thanks for listening to another KU Sports Hour, and we will talk to you again real soon.